Okay, we are on Mem Amud Aleph, second wide line. Im Yesham Av. It says, if they give Chalitza, if there's a dad, he inherits, not the brothers. Amar Mar, because we said in Masechtas Bava Basra, Av Kaidem L'chol Yoytzi Yerechoy. Father inherits before his children, right? Meaning the Yerusha goes, person, son, daughter, father. No father, it goes to the father's children who are the brothers. So the father gets before the brothers. Once there's no Yibum, it goes the regular route of Yerusha, which if there's no children, Rachmana Litzlan, it goes back to the father. Hakainas is Yibam time. Somebody does Yibum. So the Tanakhama says, he inherits. My time, Yaakum Mashayim Malchabam Rachmana. The Torah said he should take the place of his brother. Barikam, he did it. He did Yibum. By doing Yibum, he took the place of his brother. Therefore, he gets his money. Rashi? Is there Rashi? No Rashi. Rabbi Yehuda argued. Rabbi Yehuda said that a person dies and no children, and then there's Yibum. Yibum only takes, that gives this brother a right that over the other brothers, but not over dad. Dad still yarshins. Amr Ula, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. The Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. B'chein Amr Rabbi Yitzchak Navcham, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. The Amr Ula b'taim Rabbi Yitzchak Navcham, my time in Rabbi Yehuda. Why is the, what's the reason of Rabbi Yehuda? The Siv, V'hoya ha'b'chor asher teleid. If you remember, the Yavam was called the Bechor, because preferably we want the older brother to do it. But the Torah called him Bechor. Why did the Torah name the older brother Bechor? He doesn't have to be the Bechor. We learned on Daf Bechav that it doesn't have to be the Bechor. So why did the Torah call him a Bechor? To tell me, Ma Bechor ain't lebechayev, kebechor. Ma Bechor ain't lebechayev, avanami ain't lebechayev. Just like a Bechor. Has no rights while his father is still alive. Bechor inherits. A regular Bechor inherits when his father dies. So the Torah is telling me, treat the Yavam like a Bechor, that if his dad is alive, his dad gets it. That's how Rabbi Yehuda darshens it. Prekta Gemara. Ma Bechor noitel pishnayim lachem yisusav. Avhai nami noitel pishnayim lachem yisusav. Just like, I'm sorry? Again, that's because we don't hold on to Rabbi Yehuda. We're talking now Rabbi Yehuda. Again, Tanakhama says the Yavam inherits even if there's a dad. That means he doesn't use Bechor to say that he doesn't inherit while the father is alive. So he uses Bechor, what you said, and was it Chavdalim? Right, Chavdalim and Beis on top. So he used it for that. Right. Rabbi Yehuda uses it to tell me more Yehuda. That he doesn't inherit while the father is still alive. Well, so far, the Gemara said, how long is Rabbi Yehuda? We didn't finish the sugya yet. But so far, we had a whole bunch of. Right. Okay. Wait, let's give the Gemara. We have to give the Gemara three lines. Right. Correct the Gemara. Mabchar Naitel Pishnayim Lachem Mises Av. Avai Nami Naitel Pishnayim Lachem Mises Av. Right. Let us say. I'm sorry. This is not a kasha. Is it a kasha?
Yeah.
It's a kasha. I'm sorry. Let us say also that if the father dies, he should get Pishnayim in the father's Nechassim, his share and his brother's share. Let me explain. Reuven died, left over two brothers and a father, Shimon and Levi, and Yaakov his father. Rabbi Yehuda says Yaakov inherits him. Now when Yaakov dies, can Shimon, who did Yibum, right, according to Yehuda, Shimon did Yibum, did not get him the money. According to the Tanakhama, Shimon does Yibum and inherits the whole thing. According to Yehuda, Reuben's father inherits the whole thing. Yaakov inherits, even though Shimon did Yibum. Now, Yaakov dies. Right. Do we say that he should, let's say that he's like the Bechor, he should be able to inherit a double share, Reuven's share and Shimon's share? Dr. Gemara, Yaakov Hashem Avuksiv, Yaakov Hashem Achiv, Beloy Hashem Aviv. Meaning, the Torah only said he inherits from his brother. Once he's not inheriting from his brother, so then he doesn't inherit a double share. Rashi. Zok to Rashi. Av hai, nami, la'acha mitzah sa'ah, v'meisa av la'acha yuhumai, shuzah. Meina Rabbi Yehuda, d'raitu zeh chokah v'chelik chokah. He should get two shares. Shem achim ksiv, v'loy ha'shem avim ksiv. Even the b'shah shakam ha'shem achim le'shakul, tu le'shakul. Since he didn't get it at the time of Yibum, he doesn't get it. The shakul has to loy minikse achim shakul, el minikse avim v'loy yersinu. He got it from his father because his father inherited it. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara is saying that when Yaakov dies, Shimon does not get Reuven's share. He only gets his own share because it belongs to Yaakov now. It's not Reuven's anymore, and therefore he has no right of Reuven in his father's property. That's what the Gemara is saying. Yes, what's your question, Baruch Hashem?
This is aside from any Bechor Pishnai. This has nothing to do with that.
Nothing to do with that. Reuven was the Bechor. He died. No Pishnayim.
So you're forfeit Pishnayim?
Again, who's supposed to get it?
If he had children, he gets Pishnayim.
That's because he had children. That's because
now,
the children inherit him.
So Yibum is Ke'en.
Well, the Gemara is saying not that way. That once it belongs to the dad, the Yavim has no rights.
I'm saying maybe not the Pishnayim part of it. Maybe
what difference does it make which part?
Okay. I mean, it's not. The share is forfeited, basically.
But that, according to Yehuda. According to Yehuda. Correct.
Rabbi?
Yes.
I was thinking.
Can hear you.
I would think the problem that Avashal has would be lessened if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning.
It's only if there's a dad around.
Right.
I mean. It's like in a very small window, a case, you know, and I don't know percentages. We hope that children outlive their parents.
Sure.
So then, in most cases, probably the father is not alive when Reuven dies. Again, we don't know. It's all speculative. Again, the Torah did not write different halachas for different cases. Right? The Torah wrote one halacha.
I'm saying
it's weighing
in on whether
Yibum
or
it's not our decision. It's a We don't decide. We either pick one or pick the other, but that's it. You can't say, well, Abishol makes one set. There's other reasons to marry a woman that's not money.
Okay.
Now, interestingly enough, the Gemara says, according to Yehuda, that the father inherits, the brother doesn't get Pishnayim. Back on the Abchav Dawodam and Bay, Rashi over there said, Rashi and Chavdawan of his days said that if the father dies, according to the Rabbanon, if the father dies, the Yavam takes his brother's share, according to Yehuda. The Yavam inherits his brother, right? Reuven died, Shimon did Yibum, Shimon takes all of Reuven's property. Then Yaakov dies. So Rashi says, Shimon gets Reuven's share in Yaakov's property as well. That's part of Hebrew. That's what Rashi says. The Gro over there says that it's not true. That other Rishonim argue, and they say not. So to Machlokes Rishonim, the way we paskin like the Rabbanon, that Shimon inherits Reuven, even if the father is alive. Rashi holds that Shimon becomes Reuven and gets two shares in Yaakov's property later. Rabbi Chananel, the Gra says, argues and says, no, there is no right of Reuven. Shimon gets no right to double in Yaakov's property. But that's in Rabbanon who say that Yibum means he assumes all the property even though the father is alive. But Rabbi Yehuda holds that the father is alive, the father takes it. So that means the Yavam gets no rights in money. Therefore, when the father dies, he has no rights in the money. I'm just pointing out that this which the Gemara said he doesn't get a double share is only in Rabbi Yehuda, in the Rabbanah, to Machlokes Rishayim.
Why would he get no rights? Does that make any sense? Why would he get no rights?
Why should he get rights?
His son. He did a mitzvah by doing evil for his brother.
So he got a mitzvah, he gets a lot of Olam Haba. What do you want him to, what's got to do with money?
He did not become a son. What did he do?
I think we're talking apples and oranges. Reuben died, and he left over two brothers, Shimon and Levi, and a father. Shimon does Yibum. Rabbi Yehuda says, Yibum does not affect the Yerusha. It goes to the father. Yaakov inherits his son. Shimon did Yibum. Wonderful. 5 years later, Yaakov dies. Shimon gets half the property. Levi gets half the property as a son. Shimon now says, I should get half Reuven's share in my father's property. I'm sorry?
He gets his own share.
Of course he gets his own share. Of course he gets his own share. He wants the brother's share. Zuck to Gemara, he's not inheriting his brother now. He's inheriting his father. Therefore, he doesn't get any rights in the father's one. That's in Rabbi Yehuda, who gave the brother, Shimon, no monetary rights when Yaakov was alive. Therefore, Yaakov inherited it. Therefore, Shimon is out. He gets his own chelik, and that's it. The Rabbanan hold that even though Yaakov is alive, Shimon does inherit Reuven. Yibum trumps Hilchus Yerusha. The Yavam gets the Yerusha even though there is a dad.
B'chayav.
B'chayav.
But the Yerusha is the dead brother's stuff. Not
exactly.
That's all.
Okay, one second. Now, 5 years later, Yaakov dies. Comes Shimon, who already inherited Reuven, and says, listen, I'm two people. I'm Reuven and Shimon. I need two shares in my dad's nechasim. So it's a machlokes rishayim. Rashi says he can claim that because he took Reuven's spot monetarily, and now he can claim that in Yaakov's property 5 years down the line. He can say, my name is now Reuven Shimon. I'm not just Shimon. I'm Shimon and Reuven all combined. And Rabbeinu Chananel says, no, he doesn't. He inherits Reuven, but he doesn't get any chelik in his father's property. But that's in the Rabbanan who said that Shimon took over Reuven. But in Rabbi Yehuda, Shimon did not take over Reuven when Yaakov was alive, monetarily. Therefore, when Yaakov dies, Shimon has no right to say, I'm Shimon and Reuven.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to point out. Yes?
With a Bechor in Kishnayim, he only gets what the father has.
Correct.
At the time. Not
correct.
What comes in later.
Correct.
So why isn't this considered that comes in later and he doesn't get it?
It's not because the father had it. Since the father had it, it's called muchzik. It's an interesting point, but that's what Rashi says over there. That whatever the father has, he is Shimon and Reuven. He's representing both brothers. You're making an interesting point, but Rashi deals with that. It comes out of a base and says that whatever the father had is called muhzik, not called roi. That's called there. Okay. Dr. Kumar Bajt.
Can I ask a question?
There's two people talking at the same time, so much if you don't mind, Avram is talking.
What does that mean?
The time of the father's death.
Oh, father's death. Oh, I thought you...
Yes, Ramesha, yes.
This is from left field. But since you're talking about things in Shemayim and things in, on earth, when the if the younger brother, if the Kotten does, a Kotten that's over 13, does Mimer, so he's grabbing the mitzvah away from the Bechor. So does he, right. He doesn't owe, he owes the value of a mitzvah that he stole from the Bechor or not?
No idea. I have no idea. Meaning there's a law called Atzara Zehuvim. If you grab somebody's mitzvah, you have to pay atzara zehubim. Right? If you're sitting by a meal and I ask Baruch Moshe to do benching and Moshe Harris goes and grabs the benching, he owes Baruch Moshe atzara zehubim. That's right. The question now becomes, over here, if the katan goes ahead and does yibum, forget mimer, does yibum, and he didn't give his older brother a chance, does he owe his older brother atzara zehubim from grabbing the mitzvah? That's what the question is. The shaila masechta chulin of atzara zehubim is on mitzvahs or only on brachas. There's no bracha on yibum. If it was only on brachas, it wouldn't apply. But I don't know the answer to your question.
Is atzara zehubim a fixed amount, or is that a generic?
No, it's a knas of the chachamim.
But is it fixed?
Yes, it's a fixed.
Okay. Thank you.
Talk to Gemara Baiter. Ema, hecha de leka av, de lishko nachla tiskaya mitzvah zibum. Hecha de ikka av, de loishako nachla loy tiskaya mitzvah zibum. Now the Gemara wants to try a coin from Yehuda. Since when there's a father, the Yavim does not inherit. And we always view Yibum as replacing the brother, even monetarily. So maybe Yibum only applies if there's no dad. But if there's a dad, and we don't let the son replace his brother monetarily, so maybe there's no mitzvah of Yibum. Maybe it's either a whole package or nothing at all. Did the Torah say you have to be able to take over your brother's nachla? What would happen if the brother's a pauper? Would you say there's no yibum because he's nothing to take over? Well, when the father's alive, the brother's a pauper, vis-a-vis his brother. I mean, when Reuben died and Yaakov inherits, so Reuben is now a pauper vis-a-vis Shimon. That's all. The Torah didn't say there's got to be money. If there's money, he gets it. If there's somebody else that yarshens it, there is no money.
To Russia, we went to place to take the Yetzir the Pshuto and say that shame means Nachla. Now you can't be Yetzir Nachla.
Again, there is no Nachla to be Yetzir. No. What happened to the brother's a pauper? He doesn't own a thing.
He doesn't, but that's not a.
That's what happened here. The father inherited, so the brother doesn't own a thing. Yerusha is an automatic. The minute Reuven died, Yaakov inherited it. Shimon is now approaching Mrs. Reuven as the wife of a pauper, a penniless pauper.
Who owns the ksuba? The brother or the father?
The estate owes the ksuba.
Right, which the father had.
So the estate had, so ultimately, well, it's an interesting shaila now. What would happen now if Shimon divorces his wife? Who does she collect the ksuba from? That Reuven inherited his son, L'chayra, she would go back to the father and get it from that estate.
Yeah.
If there's an estate to get, yeah.
Right. It's weird that she...
Which is interesting, because the whole purpose of Ksuba is to deter divorce,
right.
And this is not going to deter any divorce. No. Interesting, Shiloh. Right, because there's no Ksuba to pay. Maybe we make Shimon owe his own Ksuba in order to deter divorce.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to the question. See, we don't paskin like a Yehuda. So it's hard to find that in halacha, but it's a great question. The whole purpose of ksuba is to deter divorce. If the father's estate is going to have to pay the ksuba, and Shimon doesn't gain anything out of it, why in the world is it a deterrent to his divorce? So seemingly he would have to write his own ksuba.
Maybe you could say it slightly differently, that the purpose of the ksuba is to ensure financial stability.
It's not. It's because they had the chazal say, they say the kalabain of ligarsha.
But as a side, can you say...
We had it last week. Actually, the Kalabain of Hoitzia.
For sure, but I'm saying, can you also say that the purpose of it is also to ensure...
True,
that
but
the...
Right. We don't want a person to be able to get rid of his wife quickly. We want it to cost him money. Rashi? No, let's just finish the Mishnah. Yasser Reb Chanina Karak HaMeder...
Son died originally.
Reuven.
Reuven, Yaakov's still living and Shimon's living.
Correct.
So right that moment before he's konates her, the chasim, what happens in the chasim?
According to Rabbanan, according to Yehuda.
According to Yehuda.
Maybe Yehuda goes to the father.
Goes to the father. There's no time to say that at that moment there's no reason that Shimon should get it. What's the reason Shimon getting it?
Because he takes over Reuven.
But we think of Reuven. I can only think of a Reuven if that moment, the second he died.
You're asking a question like this. Let me reword your question, and it'll be a stronger question.
3 months.
According to the Rabbanan, that Shimon does get it.
Why?
Because the Torah said he inherits his, takes over his brother. You want to know what happens to this property in between the time of death and the time of Yibum. There's a 3-month window here that Shimon can't do Yibum. Right? During those 3 months, who owns the property? The father, who would get it if it's Chalitza, or the brother, who would get it if it's Yibum? It's a great question. In my mind, we don't know who owns the property. Sit back and find out. If he does Yibum, then he gets the property. If he doesn't do Yibum, it'll go to the father. I don't know legally now who owns it. I'm not sure. It's a good question. I don't know. According to the Rabbanan, here in Yehuda, it's clear. It goes to the father. The Rabbanan say that if he does Yibum, he gets it. He can't do Yibum for 3 months. Who owns this property during these 3 months? There it is. It remains in the estate. But Yerusha is an automatic, right? As soon as the guy dies, Yerusha happens. To whom? Not to the brother. He didn't do Yibum yet. If we give it to the father, do we take it away from him when he does Yibum? That would be my speculation. That it goes to the father. Let's forget the father. Let's say there's no father. Let's say according to everybody, there's no father. Yaakov is not alive. Reuven dies, he leaves two brothers, Shimon and Levi. For 3 months, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know whether it's going to be Yibum or Chalitza. Who owns the property now? Shimon and Levi together? Shimon completely because he might do Yibum? Levi completely, he might do Yibum. What happens to the property till this is resolved? There's at least 3 month waiting period that we have to wait to see whether there's Yibum or Chalitza. A wife never inherits her husband. Never inherits her husband.
What we do with it is just put it...
I think it remains the estate to be determined. TBD.
Here's the problem. Rebbe was saying it's very good.
Rebbe doesn't need pizza.
I know. But the point I'm saying is that if Yaakov
I appreciate
alive,
that problem does come. It makes me feel
be
better.
Alive, here's the problem. If Yaakov would be alive and we would say for that 3 month period, it goes to Yaakov. Okay?
Yeah, I think you don't need Yaakov alive for your Shiloh.
I'm just saying, if we do give it to Yaakov, he's a smart businessman like the people here are, he could go and sell it and make money off it, because it's his for these 3 months, and by the time he passes on...
So that's why I'm saying, I don't believe it's his. I'm not sure what happens. I think it just remains to be determined. But it's interesting, because it's not Hefker. Somebody's got to own it, and dead people don't own money.
Well, I mean, what does escrow mean?
I have no idea. I'm not a lawyer.
How do bank holds it?
Yeah, it's in a...
Again... Halacha, somebody has to be owning this land.
And to say the first 3 months, that, even that I'm not so sure, because if someone cops it, it's a drabundic thing, the 3 month thing. If somebody cops it, you're going to take it away from him?
Again, I don't know. I'm asking you. I'd answer you. I don't know what happens to the property. I don't know.
I'm afraid.
Okay, and again, that becomes maybe, 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 possibly, it's an option. I don't know. I just don't like to make things up. I don't know. I could say that, but I don't know if it's true. That whatever happens is Lemifreya. So at this point, we don't know who owns it, to be determined. Possible. But Ram is a very good question.
No, I
want the island to hear.
Just tell that guy all I care about. He should know. What's his name? Wishin?
Mr. Weiss. I don't know his first name. Okay. Something about writer. Yatsev Rav Chanina Kara, Rav Chanina, one who learned Chumash, he was an expert in Chumash, sat in front of Kameda Rabbi Amai. The Yatsev Kamar Halachik Rabbi Yehuda. And he said over a brisa that the halacha is like a Yehuda. Amalai, puk kari karyak lebra, go teach outside, ain't halachik Rabbi Yehuda. When you teach this brisa, change it. It's not halachik Rabbi Yehuda, it's ain't halachik Rabbi Yehuda. Tanataha Kameda Rav Nachman, a brisa learner sat in front of Rav Nachman, ain't halachik Rabbi Yehuda. Amalai el kaman karabonim, so Rav Nachman said, what do you mean, halachik like rabonim shita, yachav ram, halachik karabim? Why do I need a brisa? This is the regular rule. That when Rabbi Yehuda argues in a rabbin, we pass him like a rabbin. The unknown name is a rabbin. So therefore we pass him like a rabbin. Why does the brisa have to say, now look at Rabbi Yehuda? Amalai, so the brisa learns that Ismiya, should I delete the brisa? Are you telling me this brisa is an error? Amalai, like, at halacha asnich, whoever taught you this brisa taught you halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Umuk, and that had to be said, because that's against the rules. Umuk so daxilach. But you had a problem. How could the person paskin like an individual against the rabbin? So what happened in your mind is the apchas. You changed the day halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Well, the maida apchas, abur apchas. You were right by turning it around, but it's unnecessary. The brisa was taught as halacha Rabbi Yehuda, but we don't paskin that way. So in your mind, you went and switched the brisa. The switched brisa is correct, except you don't need it anymore. Rashi. Talk to Rashi. Heichad hikav l'shakul yavim nachmu t'skayim mitzvah. It's maya l'kulam hasnisa. Should I erase the brisa? The Mishnah shein etzvichi, it's an unnecessary brisa. Amaloi like this maya. Don't erase it. Da'at halachik Rabbi Yehuda asnech. Because whoever taught it to you, taught it to you that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, u'mishnah tzricha avoy, and it was a necessary brisa. U'mikshu d'kash halach, heichi shabek rabbanah b'avik Rabbi Yehuda. You had a problem, how can you leave rabbanah and do like Rabbi Yehuda? B'apchas lo, b'shabrav this apchas lo, you were right in turning it over, but once it turns over, there's no necessity for it. Some people pass like Rabbi Yehuda, but it's wrong, Dr. Nachman. You turned it around. You, in your mind, quoted the brisa saying, ain't halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Because you wanted the brisa to be halacha.
I thought he meant that
he said this one. No. But apchasla means, and you turned it around and said, oh, you mean apchasla means that the rabbanon say this and the Rabbi Yehuda says that?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Because then it would be passing like a yochid against the rabbin. What does he say, Archgrove?
Reversed.
What?
Reversed.
Yeah, reversed what?
Reversed the
Bryce's
statement to
read. Right, like me. Arts translates like me. Have a ton of the Messiah League.
Okay. Which rabbi was it? Binder? Where's that man? I've never seen him in this.
Still around? Yeah, he's around. COVID.
Rabbi Yitzchak?
Yes.
Could you go over exactly this flipping around? I'm a little confused by it. What exactly happened?
In here, what are you saying?
I'm saying, could you kindly review the last line of the Gemara? It's a little, I'm not really clear exactly what who flipped
around. One who taught the Braitha learned Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. But the problem is, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So this Braitha learner, in his mind, switched it from halacha Rabbi Yehuda to ain halacha Rabbi Yehuda, which is the truth. Except once it's ain halacha Rabbi Yehuda, there was no purpose of the brisa.
He was gone.
The one who said it paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, but we don't paskin like him. Listen, we had Ula paskin like Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yitzchak paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. There were a bunch of people that paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. But Rav Nachman held out the Yalkut Rabbim halacha Karabim.
You know where that?
There are exceptions to every rule. I don't know if it's true. That might be exception to that rule as well, that there are exceptions to every rule. I don't know. Now, my receiver used to quote the Altum Slabodka. Our shita is not to have a shita. And that's also not a sheet. Not the Mishnah Vayta.
Hachayus Yevamtai. Reversed it.
The brighter would have been schwer.
Okay, no, so that wouldn't be schwer. There are people that would hold like that.
But this person didn't hold that way.
No,
so
I should change it to my thought process so it will look good for me.
No, that's not. See, you're. If I understand it correctly, what happened is as follows. The person was taught halacha from Yehuda, right? Everything was memory in those days. As he was chazering the brightness in his mind, he said it's impossible that somebody said that. They must have meant ein halacha from Yehuda. So in his mind, he switched the brightness to ein halacha from Yehuda, and he thought maybe I had a faulty memory when I said halacha from Yehuda. It just doesn't make any sense. Therefore, he started quoting it as ein halacha from Yehuda. So if Nachman pointed out to him, ein halacha k'rabbi Yehuda would have been no reason to say. So obviously it was taught to you halacha k'rabbi Yehuda, and your mind, you switched it. You're right in halacha, but you switched it, because nobody would have ever taught you ein halacha k'rabbi Yehuda.
Why are they being
good on the Tafan?
Sorry, only in
Drabana. There are people that pass k'rabbi Yehuda, but the Gemara is saying that Nachman says halacha k'rabbi halacha k'rabbi. You don't understand what I just said? You were taught something by memory. 2 years later, you're reviewing all the brises in your mind, and you get to this brise and it says Allah Kabbalah, which makes no sense to you. Because of Yaakov Arab, Allah Karabim. This brise learner didn't agree to Ula and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. He does maybe not even know about them. He just had this brise in his mind. He says, it doesn't make sense. I must have forgotten it. And they probably said, ain't Allah Kabbalah. So he started teaching this as ein halacha k'rabbi Yehuda, forgetting the fact that he forgot it in his mind. That's the way it must have been. When he came to Rav Nachman, he said to Rav Nachman said, that can't be, because nobody would have ever said that, Brisa. So what must have happened is that you were taught halacha k'rabbi Yehuda, but in your mind you turned it over because you didn't make sense out of it. You're right that it doesn't make sense, but it can't be shot. But the Lamaisa, the Brisa said halacha k'rabbi Yehuda. I don't see what's bothering you.
I don't know why a person has to. There are shitas that hold like that, so why do I have to be?
That's if you know all. If you hold Halkin Yakin Aram Alokin Karabim, you can't understand this brisa.
Meaning, if I understood the brisa the way it's written, I would posture it differently?
It doesn't make sense, so you therefore say
there
I must.
There are shitas that hold like that.
I don't know if this Tana learner knew Ula and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha.
Just because I have a brisa that goes against the halacha, I just think I have to change my word.
Again, you're accusing this person of deliberately changing it. He didn't deliberately change it. When he chazed it and it didn't make sense to him, he said, I must have forgotten it and this must have been the way it was taught. Since he wanted the brisa to make sense, he assumed that he forgot the exact words in the brisa. It's all memory.
It wouldn't have mattered because even though there's a brisa, if I have Robin, the young Elisha Robin, and I have a brisa that says differently, is that going to change?
No.
Oh, it won't change,
no,
right?
No.
So I had no reason to change it.
He just, when he chazed it, didn't he figured the brisa wouldn't be wrong?
The brisa is yachid.
And usually, a brisa wouldn't do that. So therefore, in his mind, he changed it. It's an inadvertent change.
Inadvertent? He made a mistake.
Exactly. He thought he made a mistake. I think you're making a mountain out of a molehill. Dr. Mishnah Vayta. Hachayilus li'eventai. Somebody does chalitza. Who has to be krevet? The asura be krevet. Rabbinically, we ban him to her relatives, and she is usher to his relatives, as if they were married. They're not married. but we rabbinically ban him to her relatives as if they were once married, and she is banned to his relatives as if they were once married. Rashi. Any relatives that will be usher because of a person's married to his wife, and now the Mishnah elaborates. Who usher b'ima? He can't marry her mother, because if this would be his wife, he wouldn't be able to marry his wife's mother. If this would be his wife, he wouldn't be able to marry her grandmother. He wouldn't be able to marry her father's mother. He wouldn't be able to marry her daughter. He wouldn't be able to marry her granddaughter. So had this been a real wife, all these women would have been after. And he wouldn't be able to marry his wife's sister as long as his wife is alive. So therefore, by chalutza, rabbinically, he can't marry all these women. He's not married to her. He never married this woman. It was his brother's wife. Why can't he marry his brother's wife's mother? The answer is, once he did chalitza, we rabbinically say, treat this woman as if it were your wife. And whoever would we ban biblically, if it were your wife, we ban it rabbinically because she is your chalitza.
Rabbi, wasn't this the case already before he did chalitza? Once her husband dies, he wasn't able yet
because Rabbanan made a strong bond, right?
Right.
What would happen if he went and married her mother? Reuven died, and Shimon marries his brother's wife's mother. Biblically, he's married to her. There's no erva.
Right.
Except there's a title, yes, Zika or ain't Zika. Do we want this to happen or not? There's no biblical prohibition.
All right, but there's still a prohibition. And if he does marry a
rabbi, if there's a prohibition, yes, Zika or ain't Zika.
Uh-huh.
Back on... I think before that.
Ryan?
Back on Yudayim and Beis, we had a question. Right, we said he shouldn't marry the mother either because of Zika or because he's going to be mevatel the mitzvah of Yibum. But let's say he gave chalitza. So now there's no more Zika, and there's no more wasting the mitzvah of Yibum. Why shouldn't he be able to marry this woman's mother? He did chalitza, it's over. But yet, he wasn't mevatel the mitzvah, he did another mitzvah. Not as good, but the Torah gave him that option. So Shimon gave this woman chalitza. There's no Zika left, there's no bond, and he was never married to her. So why shouldn't he be able to marry the mother? The answer is, the Rabbanan said, treat her like your wife rabbinically. So Chumra the Rabbanan. Yet there's no, we haven't gotten to the word Shnia yet. We're talking about real Erebus by a wife. If this would be his wife, the following women would be Usher: her mother, her grandmothers, her daughter, and her granddaughters, and her sister. These are all biblical Erebus of a wife. Sure. First Mishnah Yevamos. Here, I don't know, but here it says Chamaisai, Eim Chamaisai, Eim Chamav. Mishnah da Bezem and Aleph. There's no Shneis here yet. Now it gets more complicated a little bit. What?
If she dies, then they remain forbidden?
They remain forbidden, correct. Except sister. Because even if a wife dies, he can marry her sister. V'hi asura, and she is asur, the aviv, which is biblical, A person cannot marry, a woman cannot marry her husband's father. She's a daughter-in-law. Ubavi aviv, now here is a problem. Because avi aviv, a grandfather, biblically, can marry his granddaughter-in-law. There is no biblical issur for a granddaughter-in-law. It's a shnia. So therefore, if it's a shnia, do we make shnias by chalutza or not? Do we say that the rabbinic erevos that are ushered by a wife are ushered by chalutza as well? Like we said so far, everything that would be biblically prohibited by a wife would be rabbinically prohibited by a shnia, by a chalutza. How about something that would be rabbinically prohibited by a wife? What would be the halacha by shnia? Here is a case that seemingly answers that question. Because a grandfather can marry his grandson's daughter if they're not married anymore. There's no erva called kalas b'nai or kalas b'tai.
Yeah.
Right? And here we're saying she cannot marry the yavam's grandfather. That means we're saying that shnia applies to her as well. We are expanding the rabbinic prohibition of a chalutza to include not only biblical arayas by a wife, but even the rabbinic arayas by a wife. That's Pasha Pshat in the Mishnah. Ubivnai, she can't marry his son because she is his father's wife, rabbinically. Ubibenbenai, it's his grandson. She can't marry his grandson. Now that's Eshes Avi Aviv. Grandson, again, a grandson can biblically marry his grandfather's wife. It's no iser, but it's a shnia. And we're expanding it to chalutza as well. Ubeben ubachiv, she can't marry her the other brother. Ubeben achiv, because a ben achiv, it's his father's brother's wife, which is an erva midaraisa, so they asked it as chalutza midrabana. So far in this Mishnah, we had cases of biblical ervas by a wife that we included chalutza, and we had rabbinic ervas by a wife that we included chalutza. Rashi, Zok to Rashi, who was her? Kol hanach harayis derayis ninu b'ishtoi, v'gezrinu rabbanan b'chalutza asai. Bizman shi kayemes, I think I did the Rashi from the Yom Ha'alof. Yeah. Bizman shi kayemes, ha'achayis tekoi, going on a sister, v'loi b'shar harayis. V'aviz b'shum kalosai. She is his daughter-in-law. Now here comes Rashi. Avagav, the Be'ishtoi Gemura ain't Asur Elat V'Aviv, Elamid Ivrei Seifrim. Even by a wife, this would only be a rabbinic erva. The Kalas B'nai Mishniyah is Rabbanani. This is a Shniyah. So Lachi Gazur Rabbananami B'chalutza. They made this Gzeira by a Chalutza. B'nai, Shem Eishas Av. B'ben B'nai, Shem Eishas Avi Aviv. His grandfather's wife, the one who gave his chalitza to grand, she even ashniyah. Ba'achim, shem eishesach. The ben achim, shem eishesach, yavim, she's the wife of his of the brother's father's brother.
Why wouldn't the Mishnah just say a 15
relative? Don't know. Yes.
Let's take
away
chalitza.
Right.
Would these same halachas apply?
Sure. A regular wife?
He was in divorce, right?
A man who had a wife and divorced her, all these ervas are out.
Right. So it comes out, is there anything, is the same thing chalutza?
One is biblical, one's rabbinic. Chalutza is rabbinic. You never married the chalutza, she wasn't your wife. That's to release her. He never married her. Were you married to this woman?
So the point I'm saying is that we're not. There's nothing more. We're just saying that whatever halacha is by. By Grusha, same thing by Chalutza.
Except I mean, one's biblical, one's rabbinic.
Right. So the
Chiddush is that we even expand it to Shnias. Since it's rabbinic, it's a double drabanan. Even by a wife, it's rabbinic, and we're expanding it to chalutza, which is an extra rabbinic. Except the Gemara is going to have a shayla, but the way Rashi learns the Mishnah, we know the answer to the Gemara shayla.
Why isn't that considered gazera?
One of the Tyson says it's an unaskable question. Because sometimes it's considered one zera, and sometimes it's considered two, and I never know. Tyson says, whenever you have that question, you just answer it was all one zera.
The Rabbana didn't do that by Gerim, did they?
What do you mean by Gerim?
Expand.
Didn't we talk about that?
We did,
actually. Neither do I. Abchazin.
I feel like
not,
but
the Gemara had a Shaila. And the Gemara said it's not. They didn't make the Gzera by Gerim. Gemara Dab Chobeza Meralov asked the Shaila and said they didn't. Okay. Next part of the Mishnah. Okay, it's a simple statement, but it's confusing in the wording. Mutter Adam Bekrivas Tsaras Chalutzasai. Reuben died, he left over two wives. Not related to each other. I mean, they are, they're co-wives, but they're not sisters, they're nothing. No Shilas here. Reuben died, left over Rachel and Leah. Shimon did Chalitza to Rachel. Right? He did Chalitza to Rachel. He can marry Leah's sister, or Leah's mother, or Leah's daughter. He can't marry Leah. She was his brother's wife. She was his brother's wife. Reuben was married to Rachel and Leah. Shimon gets to pick who he wants to do chalitza to. He decides to do chalitza to Rachel, but Leah is his brother's wife. He can't marry her. But he can marry her mother because he never did chalitza to her. He can marry her daughter. He can marry her sister. Because this rabbinic issur of chalitza was not expanded to include the tzara. He never did chalitza to her. She's not his chalitza. So he can marry the relative of the co-wife. However, here comes the chiddush. So asar b'tzairas k'rayvas chalitza. He did chalitza to Rachel. And Rachel's mother, Rachel's sister, is married to somebody else. Not related. Right. He did chalitza to Rachel. Rachel has a sister who's married to God. And God has a second wife. And then God dies. So Shimon, who did chalitza to Rachel, wants to marry Rachel's sister's co-wife. Nothing related to him. He's not allowed to. Same thing. Any karev of the chalutza, not only can he marry her, but he can't marry her co-wife, even though she's married to somebody he doesn't, never had shaychus to. And the Gemara's going to want to know why. It has nothing to do with her. The whole chalutza is a drabanan. Not only are we allowing Leah to marry chalutza, we're not allowed to marry the relative of the chalutza, and he can't marry the co-wife of the relative of the chalutza. But that's what the Mishnah says. You can marry the relative of the tzara, but you can't marry the tzara of the relative. Which seemingly doesn't make any sense. He did chalutza to Rachel, so fine. We don't let you marry Rachel's sister. Rachel's sister is married to God. They live in China. God dies, and Rachel's sister is now an almana. Fine, you can't marry Rachel's sister. She's the sister of your chalutza. But her co-wife, totally unrelated.
Appears that the Chalitza Act did something.
So the Gemara is going to explain why. So why should I jump ahead? Let's do Rashi. Look, Rashi. Mutar adam kreves tzara chalutza. So lamina tzara chalutza v'asim b'kreves. We don't treat the tzara like a chalutza. V'asim b'tzara kreves chalutza. So Reuben chalutza leya. V'rochul nesul l'nachri. So a stranger. V'lo tzara. V'mei tzanachri. Asura hatzara l'Reuben. The time of Mepharish with Gemara, and we will continue tomorrow.